You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Speaking of the house, a friend of mine, Tom Whitehouse, nickname House, we're pretty creative sometimes. He's lucky, like when you're House or McNamara, or his name's Whitehouse, right? So it's House. Or when you're McNamara, you're Mac, right? Some guys, then it's like, whoa. Yeah, like what do we do with that? Nothing. So, yeah. So anyway, happy birthday to Tom Whitehouse. I'll tell you what we're going to do today because I'm kind of fired up about it, and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do tomorrow because I'm fired up about that too. And there's a whole lot of going, a lot of stuff going on in the world, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Two Marines wounded at 29 Palms. We'll talk about that a little bit, even though not very much information has been released about it. What we're going to do today, and I like bringing, whether they're Senate hearings or House hearings or, but and when you hit a commandant in long format, that's a good thing. I like that. Right? Cause you see these stories, you know, based on a quote, then background, then somebody else's comment. And I think it's helpful to hear the complete thought. So, this is, again, I'm a pretty cool guy. I've been a cool guy my whole life. And people can say whatever they want, but everybody knows it's true. I mean, I was a cool guy when I was in first grade. I was like one of the cool guys. I was good in sports, right? You know, I was decent in academics, like, so I could navigate pretty much any venue that came my way. The arts, not so much, but I could fake it. Yeah, I could fake like I was singing in choir till they said, you have to sing a solo. And I said, I'm out. I'm not doing that in front of everybody. Yeah, so it was my fear of being socially humiliated that got me out of choir. I'm not doing that. So, Yeah, they were looking to thin the choir. Up to that point, I was in a big sea of other people who couldn't sing as well. But then, I don't know, it's like 6th or 7th grade. You know, in order to be in the choir, somebody got serious about it and said, yeah, you got to sing solo for the tryout. Yeah, sorry. First of all, you probably don't want to hear Mary Had a Little Lamb sung by me. And I really don't want to sing that in front of other people, okay? Because I really don't want to do this that much. I was just doing it because a couple friends were in here, but I'm out. So I'm not sure if I had discovered girls at that point of my life. But this is what I discovered this morning. So, headline last week, Neller at Brookings, blah, 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 blah. I assume that he sat down with one of the Brookings folks, and he did, but to, much to my surprise and pleasure, you know who runs Brookings these days? That's right. John Rutherford Allen. Okay, so, Mac. Anyway, he has a very serious voice. So, General Allen, I met him as Major Allen. So, his nickname, we find out, one of the first things I tend to find out about people is their middle names, especially if they're odd initials, right? So, let's just say it's, you know, Edward M. Kennedy. Probably Michael, Matthew, you know, there's not, probably not going to be Malcolm, right? But, so, like, for instance, so I would, like, John R. Allen, what's R stand for? Ronald? We can have some fun with that. No, Rutherford. Really? So what do you think his nickname was? Rutherford. Where's Rutherford? So, yeah, I'm not sure that he ever found that out, but that's what we called him. Hey, man, where's Rutherford? He's out on Range 5 doing something. All right. All right, I'm safe then. So, anyway, lo and behold, he's running Brookings. Guess who interviews the Commandant? Rutherford. Yeah, John Allen interviews Bob Neller. Yeah, so you're going to hear that in 52 minutes or thereabouts. Yeah, very cool, right? Yeah. I was like, I saw that and I was like, whoa. I was expecting like Michael O'Hanlon or something like that. And O'Hanlon, I mean, he knows his job. But, yeah, 2-4 stars sitting down. So, interesting. So that'll be interesting. I haven't heard it. I believe this is where the quote about the Commandant saying that in, 15 years that our aircraft, it'll be an option whether to put the pilot in there, that they will be capable of unmanned flight. It's just simply the march of time. So, but long format, I like it. Now, so you'll hear that today. We'll check the news, you'll hear that, and then the gunner's going to join us. There's a number of stories in the news that we'll get the gunner to comment about guns. I know everybody likes that. Now, before I do the news, let me talk about tomorrow. Battlefield study, retired Marine General Butch Neal. Butch Neal, born and raised in Hull, Massachusetts. And he joins the Marine Corps. A pretty interesting story. His dad passes away. He's a garbage man in Hull because, it paid well. Municipal job, friends of his dad kind of looked out for him, and he could work whenever he needed to work, and he had to work to help support his mom and sisters, starting from the time he was a teenager. So as he goes to college, he gets involved in ROTC. He finds out the Marine Corps has got a program that he can go 6 weeks this summer and 6 weeks next summer, and then when he graduates, he'll get commissioned. But that doesn't screw with his money very much, right? He can go back to Hull and go be a garbage man. That's why he joins the Marine Corps. Other than that, he said, look, I wanted to serve. I was going to be an officer. You know, I didn't really have any affinity for the Marine Corps. So But what we're going to talk about in the battle study is, and I talked about it yesterday a little bit, because I've been pegging the dork meter, and I did it again yesterday. I went into the map cone of silence. Yeah, it's one of my flaws as a human being. If you put me in like a map room, you will not see me. I will not need to be fed for at least 48 hours. And I'm not going to the bathroom either. I'm like there. If you put me in like a room at the library with the special studies and manuscripts, same thing. I will be in there till I drop. I know. It's me. So anyway, what I wanted to do was, in reading, his book, What Now, Lieutenant General Neil's book, which I would recommend to you. And I don't recommend every book, as you noticed on this program. I'll talk about books, but I don't recommend them. I'd recommend General Neil's book to you. He's a normal guy, as you can imagine. If you're a garbage man, you're a pretty normal guy. Okay? And so General Neil is. He's a normal guy, but he's smart and he's tough and winds up in Vietnam. One of the first things in the book that caught my attention, one of the things that caught my attention was he talks about John Bobo. And anybody who's been an officer in the Marine Corps or been around the Marine Corps for a while knows the name Bobo. Why is that, Mac? Lieutenant Bobo didn't win. He was the recipient of the Medal of Honor for actions against the enemy in 1967 in Vietnam. If you're an officer in the Marine Corps, you know him because you stood outside his chow hall and read his citation in the rain or waiting to go in to have chow. Pretty sobering what this guy did at the age of 24 in Vietnam. So in his book, you're reading it, and all of a sudden he's talking about John Bobo. And you make the connection that, wow, General Neil's in the same company as an FO, as a forward observer for artillery, as an FO with John Bobo. And so we'll talk about the fight they get into, part of Operation Prairie 3. And I'm going to read you a little bit about Operation Prairie 1 and 2. Just a few little blurbs. You know those green books about Vietnam that the Marine Corps put out? They're pretty invaluable when you're learning because they're well footnoted, right? They're pretty well footnoted. But anyway, he's talking about John Bobo, what a great guy he is, blah 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 blah. So as I kind of read about this event that is such a big event in General Neil's life, I go down the map. Yeah, I go down. I want to see where it is. Right? I want to know where it is. I even have a mail into the historical division of the Marine Corps. That's right. That means it's officially out of control. I want the grid coordinates because I asked General Neil, hey, do you have a map? Because I always try to put up a map when we do battle studies. And he said, no, I don't have a map. Okay, I'll find one. Because there's got to be some kind of grid coordinate in either an after-action report that's in the historical division or there's a Medal of Honor, four Navy crosses out of this one fight. Out of this one fight, four Navy crosses, Medal of Honor. In one company. I don't know that I've ever heard that. I could be wrong. I don't know that I've ever heard that. And I don't mean stretched out over the course of, you know, over the course of a month or so. Because I think that record belongs to, is it Echo 27? Yeah, at the Chosin Reservoir, as they fought and did all the crazy stuff they did, I think they, but in one action, anyway, so tomorrow you'll hear that interview, and General Neil very gracious to give his time up, because it's not a short interview. But he's awesome. He's awesome. And also, I mean, we talk about his career up to that point. And then, we talk about, you know, again, I mused about it yesterday and I'll tease it today, but, There's a theme in three of the battle studies we've done so far, and all three are Vietnam. And that is somebody at the other end of the radio doesn't know the situation in front of you and tells you to do something stupid. Yeah. What do you do? Now, you know, we have, you know, this command and control system, you know, this philosophy of warfighting called maneuver warfare. I know your intent. I know what you want me to do out here. So I don't think, you know, and again, the three isn't the CO. He's the OPSO. He's not in my chain of command. Now, he can give me an order. Okay, I got it. But he's not my CO. I work for the CO, not for the three. Yeah, that doesn't make him happy when you say that shit to him. But screw them, right? So, so you get an order that denies the reality that you're seeing with your eyes. What do you do? What do you do? And so, because you have to live with the consequences. So, you know, I don't know if this is good or bad of me, but I'm almost curious to find out, you know, who the CO was. Oh my God. Let me just tell you, I love the historical division of the Marine Corps, right? I sent an email yesterday. Here's what I got. Mac, Dr. Niemeyer forwarded your request. The operational records submitted by the 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines for March 1967 are available online. And gives me the link. I'm attaching a few items from our biographical file on Lieutenant Bobo that might be of interest as well. Hope it's helpful. Yeah. Holy smokes. All right, Mac, pegging the dork meter now. So you get into it's not a question of like the fighting valor of Marines. They'll fight. They're different. They're different human beings, right? They opt in for our boot camp. All right, that's not a rational choice. That's like somebody looking for trouble. And you've never, again, when you see that group of people, right, when you see the gifted ones fight, pretty amazing. Yeah, but they chose. They looked at our boot camp with all the insanity that surrounds it, and they're like, yeah, I'll do that. That's not a normal choice. Most people say, yeah, who needs that? This, I can have all the same stuff, I can still serve, but I can do that without the insanity, okay? The people that opt for the insanity, yeah, it's a different group of people. So, but it's this idea that somebody who doesn't know what's going on, and you push back, and they say, no, do it. Yeah, I don't know that, what am I advocating for? Insubordination? Maybe. No, I'm just saying that there's a disconnect. You're out there on the ground. You know what the hell's going on. And in this case, I'll tease it some more, what the company had seen was indications of large formations and lots of activity. And they get given an order that they push back on and say, yeah, I'm not comfortable doing that. Shut up and color. And they do. And as a result, 15 killed, 47 wounded. A Medal of Honor, 4 Navy Crosses, and then Silver Stars and Bronze Stars beyond that. So you'll hear that tomorrow. Yeah, and as I said, I'm fired up. I'm fired up about it. And, you know, at some point, you know, I'd like to do a roundtable about that. You know, I'd like to get General Lynch back on and say, well, in retrospect, if you had to do it again, would you do what you got told to do? And what advice would you give, you know, other officers now? You know, because we're going to operate with, you know, in a peer-to-peer war, we're going to operate with the satellites gone. He's not going to have the data connection that he's had. He's not going to have, you know, drone footage all over the place because we've lost the data link. So what now, Lieutenant? Which is the title of General Neal's book. What now? What do you do? At the battalion, the regiment, the division, none of those guys have perfect. You know, they're rolling off Vietnam era command and control style. They have push pins in a map or push pins on a computer. But there's no data link to them because that thing's gone. So now what? And I think most, I don't know. And it depends upon the people involved. If it's somebody who you know and trust telling you to do it, and you know, you can't go into it, then I think you have a tendency to do it. If it's somebody who you don't know, who of questionable competence, then do you do it? I'm not sure. Okay, I just want to read you in yeah. I just want to read you a couple things. This is during Operation Prairie One. Okay. Now, this is 1967, up by the DMZ. Let's see. As a result of the detection of a large concentration of enemy troops and material north of the Benha River, the Marines on 20 that's the river in the that runs the DMZ in Vietnam. The Marines on 25 February asked for and received permission to fire into and north of the DMZ against purely military targets. The North Vietnamese could no longer consider the DMZ area as a safe haven. Staging and supporting areas and artillery positions now could be interdicted on a 24-hour period. The communists reacted quickly to the sudden vulnerability of their previously safe haven. On the 27th of February, heavy enemy mortar, rocket, and artillery fire struck Con Tien and Giao Lin. Both of those are Marine bases, fire support bases. The composite artillery battalion at Giao Lin bore the brunt of these attacks. On the 28th of February, more than 400 rounds landed in the battalion's position in a 17-minute period. 17 minutes, they got 400 rounds. 400 rounds. The North Vietnamese, up by the DMZ where you fought the NVA, they were no slouches. There's one other little footnote that I wanted to read to you as I've kind of got familiar with the time that... the time period that General Neal's talking about, and then we'll start the program. We'll check the news. Hold on. It's the number of casualties that I circled at some point. Yeah, it was during Operation, I want to say it was during Operation Prairie One. And I want to say, I was looking for the footnote that says they kill close to 1,400 Operation Prairie 1, 2, and 3. Operation Prairie 1. Yeah, here it is. Operation Prairie 1 ended on 31 January 1967. At its height, the operation involved 6 Marine infantry battalions, 2 regiments of Marines. It accounted for the largest number of enemy casualties in a single Marine operation to that date, 1,397 killed. Right? That's in a 30-day period, 27 captured. Marine casualties for the same period were 239 killed and 1,214 wounded. Yeah, the NVA. One of the things that the NVA, and I want to say this, the book is called The Sorrow of Tears, that one written by the NVA soldier, Bao Lin, who was in the PBS documentary, the blonde-haired dude, so you know he's cool. You don't see too many blonde-haired Asians. He might have dyed his hair blonde. probably did. Anyway, he, in his book, he talks about what it was like to get caught in the supporting arms of the Americans. I would just tell you that a below average experience, according to him. And guys come back laying in hammocks, staring, and won't get, they won't, people are ordering them to do things. They just look at them and like, I ain't doing it. The fatality, and his name is Bao Lin, the fatality that he writes with in his book that permeated the unit, of the 500 people in his battalion, when he left North Vietnam, they were organized, trained, and they march away, right, to great fanfare. Five were left at the end. Five of the original 500 were left. And so when they would get replacements, they'd rotate north as DMZ, they'd go into these camps to rest, to get new equipment, whatnot. And the political officers would show up, and they ran the camp essentially. And they're, you know, this is why we're fighting. You know, the harvest is great. Your families are doing well. Then you read the letters from your family. There's no food. And they're just like, we're going to die. We know that. Everybody dies. And they don't care. And this kind of black fatality that overtakes them as they cope with, you know, what they believe is going to be their certain death. Right. So pretty interesting. Anyway, so General Neil, tomorrow in 33 minutes, you're going to hear John Allen. You know what's crazy? This is my opinion. When I saw Allen interviewing Neller, I was like, holy shit, man. That's awesome. Do you think you've seen that headline or like this is a big deal? It's on Brookings' website. I even searched for it. Neller Brookings, couldn't find it. So I went to Brookings' website and there it is. And I see him sitting there. I'm like, whoa, check that out. All right. So with that long-winded introduction, good morning to you, United States Marine Corps Band. Let me read you an email. Mac, stop hiding it. You're a dork. The things that you talked about, map rooms, special reading areas, you're a dork. Don't fight it. Give into it. Okay, just for the record, I'm not a dork, okay? I might have dork-like tendencies, okay? But that's where it ends. That's right, because I'm a cool. Do you think Gunner would be friends with me? Because he's a cool guy. You think Mike would be friends with me if I wasn't cool? I'll answer that. No, he wouldn't be, right? He only likes cool people. That's not true. He likes some people that aren't cool, but not too many. All right, United States Marine Corps Band makes it official on a Tuesday. Good morning. Dedicated to India Company 39, which is the company that Butch Neal, John Bobo, and a whole bunch of brave Marines served in 1967. So learning about them has been amazing. This is dedicated to them, their valor. Thank you.
So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
The great Santini says that in his movie. We got to win. Dad, why don't you sing Dixie? Dixie's a loser song! Yeah, the great Santini. There's some awesome stuff that comes out of that. He wasn't exactly the greatest parent, but he was motivated. He was fired up. Wasn't a bad parent. Maybe a little bit too intense. Some great lines in there. She asks, they're laying in bed, why are you so hard on whatever the kid's name is? And he says, I want him to eat life up. I want him to devour it. And he's gonna train him to do that, right? Because he is the great Santini. And then they're driving down the road at some point. They're changing duty stations, right? Moving again. And I think his wife might be from the South. And so I think they were leaving North Carolina. I don't know, going someplace. Cherry Point, leaving there, going to Quantico. Who knows? But anyway, he's singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And they're singing Dixie. And they're yelling at him, sing Dixie! That's a loser song! I'm not a loser! But, yeah, it's an awesome movie. I mean, very entertaining. So, check it out if you get a chance. That's right. We'll check the weather here. Speaking of checking things out, we'll check the weather. Sun and... I need to get those. Those should be part of All Marine Radio's introduction at some point. I need to freshen up my quotes here. I made a note of that the other day. Although there are some of them. John Kennedy. Can you imagine a Democrat saying that today? Ask not. You can imagine at the Democratic National Convention. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. What the hell did he just say? Is he out of his mind? Did he actually say that to us? Yeah, I think he did. What could he possibly be thinking about saying something as crazy as that? Yeah, I don't know, but man, that dude's out of his head. Saying some crazy nonsense like that. Anyway, sunny in 67 in Quantico, clouds in 61 at Camp Lejeune. It is 77 in Granbury, Texas. Getting hot in old Texas. Old Texas Mike, not going to be happy. Montana man's happy. Sun in 59 in Montana. 29 Palms. Sunny in 74. That means they'll be in the 90s today. Fog in 54 at Camp Pendleton. Clouds dark, 73 in Okinawa. That means they've warmed up. Mars has warmed up a little bit too. Clear dark in 89. So that means, what is the forecast for Mars today? So in Afghanistan, if it's 89 when the sun goes down, it's 102 on Wednesday. That's the forecasted high. 107 on Thursday as spring springs in Afghanistan. That's right. So spring stretching out, getting away for about 120 to 125 in the summer. cloudy and 57 degrees at your home for All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of beautiful Southern California. That's right, on our way to partly cloudy and 74, which means there might be like three clouds in all of, you know, from San Diego to Los Angeles. Wow, there wasn't a cloud in the sky yesterday. 76 tomorrow, 74, and sun on Thursday. Lows overnight, 59. That is a look at your weather. When we come back, we will check the news in Marineland. More of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday, the day the president's going to announce whether we're pulling out of the Iran nuclear weapons deal. Yeah. So, I guess we won't find out till after the program's over. But the first report I saw that somehow or other has leaked was that the United States is pulling out. But it is Don Trump. You never know.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me.
I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing. Cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew steam. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It was like winning and use me. I'm blinded cause I think I'm getting so huge I need a shrink. I'm beginning to lose sleep. One sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo and cookie.
7:41, time for us to check the news. At the top of the news is two Marines wounded in a training incident at the Marine Corps Air Combat Center in 29 Palms. Happened yesterday afternoon. Both Marines are members of the 1st Marine Division, the Blue Diamond, and they were wounded on Sunday. One Marine has been released by from the hospital, while the other remains in what is described as serious condition, according to the command release. The Marines are part of 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines, and were conducting a maneuver live fire range, executing a maneuver live fire range during the exercise, according to 2nd Lieutenant Samuel Banks, a Marine spokesman. He said that in an emailed statement. Both Marines were evacuated by air ambulance to receive proper medical care for their injuries. The Marine Corps is describing the incident as a training accident. Then the lieutenant reminds us that military training is an inherently dangerous task, and the 1st Marine Division takes every precaution to ensure the safety of our training. You know, I can remember the first time that, you know, you have near misses. Somebody, you know, you're attacking something, a piece of dirt essentially. It probably has pop-up targets on it, and so the machine guns are supposed to, you know, are supposed to cease fire and then shift fire to a subsequent objective. You know, just basic blocking and tackling stuff. You know that they suppress as you close, right? So you move as close as you can, covered to an objective that you're going to launch into the attack, and just before you launch, they're going to shift their fire to a second objective and suppress that, because after you do this one, you're doing that one. Anyway, so you do that, and then somebody doesn't get the word, and all of a sudden you begin to move, and all of a sudden, pop, 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 and then there's stuff flying around everywhere. I remember conducting a breach of a strong point, and the machine guns were suppressing it. Old 2nd Lieutenant McNamara low crawling with his platoon of the Goon Platoon, Charlie 15, 3rd Platoon, were motivated low crawling out there in 29 Palms. Machine guns are letting it rip, and we have an engineer squad with us. They're supposed to slide a Bangalore torpedo through a bunch of concertina and blow the shit out of it so we can move through it. So, yeah, it's on, you know, and so people are screaming and yelling, right? There's all kinds of confusion. We do enough to inject friction into our own lives to have it present on the battlefield when we do exercises. So it's self-injected, but and then you have the observers there that are, you know, that are making sure you're safe. So I'm with the engineers. They're stuffing this Bangalore, you know, and they're getting ready. I'm just making sure that I have my eye on them, so that if, you know, the company needs to know anything, where they, you know, how are they doing, whatnot, and we're providing security. And then there's this huge rock that might be, I don't know, 15, 20 feet in front of us. All of a sudden, off that rock, like, oh shit! Right, everybody dives, you know, and I get on the radio. You know, cease fire. We have machine gun rounds, you know, on objective alpha. What? Yeah. Old Tom Daly's boys with their heads up their ass. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, you know, so you think you have this, and you walk through it, you rehearse it, and you have safety people there, and then, I mean, it happens. So, thank God that nobody's killed. And hopefully, one Marine already out of the hospital. Hopefully, the other one's serious on the, he's not described as in critical condition, so serious would be down from that. So we'll keep our fingers that Marine is all right. I just wrote myself a note last week that I need to track down Marines that were in that Amtrak that hit the gas pipe and get one of them on to talk about what they did. That's like still in my head. Can you imagine turning a gas line into a blowtorch onto a vehicle where there's people into it? Email, great show. I just ordered General Neil's book. Really looking forward to reading the details about Lieutenant Bobo and the others. Currently reading Echo and Ramadi. One of the things I love about your show is exposure to these books I would have probably otherwise missed. You probably heard or saw some things about this story recently, chilling and heartbreaking. If true, very sad to imagine the Navy fighting the Air Force over Chapman's award. God help the Master Chief with what he has to live with. I don't know that I've seen this. Oh. The Navy SEALs allegedly left behind a man in Afghanistan. Did they also try to block his Medal of Honor? Oh, man. This is in Newsweek. Now, I'm not going to tell you Newsweek is a rag, but it's kind of a rag. I don't know who wrote the story. Let's see. Let me get to see who wrote it. We can find out if we know him. Wow, it's a long article. Stand by. Sean D. Naylor, the author of Not a Good Day to Die, The Secret History of Operation Anaconda, is a national security correspondent for Yahoo News. All right, so we got to check out Naylor. Who is Naylor? All right. But Ohio Man, normally, he is the purveyor of good gowns. He doesn't, although at times he'll charter the black helicopter. He's not afraid of that. The article's entitled, The Navy SEALs Allegedly Left Behind a Man in Afghanistan. Did they also try to block his Medal of Honor? That's a pretty lengthy title there. All right, back to the headlines we go. So that's story number one at the top of in a story we'll talk about with Mike. This move could shave 50 pounds off a belt of 50 caliber ammunition. I'm sorry. This move could shave 20 pounds off the belt of 50 cal ammunition. I got my 20 and 50 mixed up. Your next belt of 50 caliber ammunition could weigh 10 to 20 pounds less than it does now. How about that? That would be a good thing. You want to see people with their shoulders ready to blow out of their sockets? Spend some time with people humping 50 cal ammunition. The Marine Corps Systems Command, the authority in charge of pretty much all the Marine Corps gear, put out a request for information, which is known as an RFI, in late April, asking ammo-making companies to lighten the load of bullets that make the venerable Ma-Deuce, that would be the M2, 50 caliber machine gun. A belt of 100 lightweight 50 caliber cartridges with 101 links, and we'll talk about 101 links, needs to shave 15 to 30% or more than 20 pounds to qualify for the RFI the Marines have put out. Any new cartridge configuration must live up to the same requirements that the current M33 projectile, according to the Fed Biz Ops posting. Interesting. All right, so that in the news. We'll talk to the gunner about that. Commandant made news at the Marine Corps Association. The Marine Corps Association and Foundation's Ground Awards. So I'm trying to get a recording of his remarks so you can hear them. Because that's where he announced the whole, he announced that the decision relative to the rifle squad at that little event. Which is an interesting place to announce it, but Congress is going to conduct hearings into the rising number of accidents. In that'll be awesome. And let me just tell you what I hope happens. I hope that what happens is the finger gets pointed squarely at our members of Congress, saying, do you know what you did to us? Do you know why this has happened? This is your making. And I hope that the people that testify say that to him. Yeah. The story that the Newsweek story is based on is Navy SEAL to receive Medal of Honor for 2002 Operation Anaconda. His name is Britt Slabinski. The White House announced yesterday. So, interesting stuff going on. A Marine who died during the Battle of Tarawa will be buried in Arlington. PFC Harold Bud Thomas. And again, this is due to the forensics of the world that we live in. And sometimes it's the work of people who now have access to digital archives who are going through and putting these pieces together, and with the data that the Department of Defense has on who's interred in what grave, what items they had on them and things like that, and people are helping out doing this. But you see in this story there's a picture of Bud Adams in his alphas. Yeah, got a tie clasp on his collar back in the day when you used to be able to jazz up your uniform. All she knows is a few stories, stories that reach back more than seven decades. They are stories of the hijinks of Harold V. Thomas and Robert Thomas when they played as kids in the family neighborhood in Columbus's South Side a lifetime ago. Stories like how they thought it was funny to wade into the Scioto River, Scioto River, S-C-I-O-T-O, wearing their new leather shoes just to christen them. Stories of how both men joined the Marines, how both went off to war, how only one came home. It wasn't something my dad would ever talk about much, Carol Thomas Korn said of her father, Robert. I just knew he spoke of my Uncle Bud very fondly. Both men enlisted in the Marine Corps and both fought in the Pacific. Both were among the 18,000 Marines that stormed the small, heavily fortified island of Basio in the Tarawa Atoll in the Gilbert Islands in November of 1943. Robert was wounded and earned the Purple Heart, but was killed in action. She lives on the northeast side of Cleveland, and the story that is passed down was that the man she had only ever heard as Uncle Bud had been buried at sea. Now she thinks that was probably made up in some small way to comfort Bud's grieving mother. The not knowing may have otherwise proven too much for her. They say she never was the same after he died. Ms. Thomas Korn said of her grandmother. She is now 69. After 75 years of questions, the Thomas family finally has some answers. Remains that have been interred at the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific were identified last year as those of Marine PFC Harold Thomas, who will be buried on Monday with full military honors at Arlington National Cemetery. As many as 20 relatives, including some nieces and nephews who still live in Columbus, will attend. It was absolutely amazing, Thomas Korn said. This means everything to our family. Yeah, you know what? It's amazing after so many years, 75 years, the significance that this has to different communities and families. Records show that Bud Thomas enlisted in the Marine Corps on August 7, 1942. He fought with Fox Company, 2nd Battalion of the 2nd Marines. The Battle of Tarawa began on November 20, 1943, and lasted for 3 days. He was killed in the first day of fighting. Harry Thomas Jr., a nephew of both Bud and Robert, had always taken more than a passing interest in his uncle's story. He once had reached out to the Marine Corps looking for answers. I wanted a point of contact, a source where I could determine something of the battle and learn more about what happened to him, said the 77-year-old who grew up in Columbus and graduated from South High School in 1958. He now lives near Atlanta. In mid-2016, some of the Thomas family gathered at the home of Dorothy Thomas Hartley, Robert and Bud's sister, after her death. Harry was among them. He had heard about advanced DNA testing and that it was increasingly helping to attach names to previously unidentified remains. So on a whim, he asked Dorothy's son if he could have her hairbrush. That kick-started a chain of events that led to Harry and her cousin and another cousin submitting DNA samples to the government. Not long after, they were told that their uncle's remains had been positively identified. Speaking of it, even now, it chokes up Harry. Quote, "We deal with this now with both thanks and respect," he said. "Our family would talk about our Uncle Bud with only love and reverence. Now we can gather to show him in force." Pretty cool story. You know, again, these were all, you know, you see his, and this is out of the Columbus Dispatch, story written by Holly Zachariah. You see his picture, right? He's standing in, I don't know if he was arrested, but he's standing with a height chart in the background. I don't know if the Marine Corps normally did that. But he's in his office, so hopefully he wasn't in trouble in his office. He's got his hair cut, and this is before we did the whole high and tight thing, right? Marines of World War II, man, they could comb their hair any way they wanted to. And he did. So he's got his flow going on top, and went off and fought in the Pacific in World War II, was killed on Tarawa. But and you see these stories now on a regular basis as a lot of bodies have been dug up at the Punch Bowl. They've also been dug up in the Philippines and identified, and families get closure. All these decades later. So I think that in terms of Marine Corps times, here's another headline. Russia is using the Syrian war to boost their Mediterranean presence. Okay, that guy, you know who said that? An admiral. Okay, admiral, you read the newspaper. Congratulations. Here's another. Oliver North, right? How classic is this? Oliver North, named president of the NRA. Out of my cold, dead hand. Ollie North. There you have it. All right, top five stories from the early bird. Before I get to the top five, I want to recommend a story in the German periodical Deutsche Welle. And just so you know, because I care, it is right now on the All Marine Radio website under the read board. Yeah, that's because I give a shit about you. Okay, I told you that at the bottom of the early bird, There's a section called Commentary and Analysis. The headline in this article is Xi Jinping, right? He's the dictator of China and the Chinese Dream. The Deutsche Welle series explores China's rise as a global superpower. In this article, we examine the Chinese Dream, which shapes the present and reaches far into the future, encapsulating President Xi's vision for his country. Did I mention it's a communist country? Right? And you can only have communism when you have rifles? Yeah. You don't have it when people are free. Anyway, having said that, worth a read. Worth a read. And there's also another interesting story in that section called How to Counter China's Fortified Islands. You know what it calls for? This is awesome, right? This is Asia Times. This is written by countries that are free. How to counter China's fortified islands in the South China Sea. As China upgrades its missile systems in the South China Sea, the U.S. needs to, quote, fix the Navy, strengthen allies, and develop bases near the Taiwan Straits. Whoa. The Taiwan Straits. Did you hear that? Because that's next on your dance card. Then Japan. right? That's all in that inner line of defense that Grant Newsham explained to us. Yeah, the inner belt goes from the South China Sea to the East China Sea, right? And it affects Vietnam, Malaysia, the Philippines, Taiwan, and Japan. That's right. And they're all going to bend to China by hook or by hook. Okay. Actually, by crook sounds better because there are a bunch of crooks in China. And I just don't mean like normal crooked businessmen. I mean like communists, gangster communists. Email. Secretary Mattis and General Dunford are involved and mentioned in the article. Make sure you read it. No, I don't normally read Newsweek or Yahoo News, but saw it on Facebook via a friend of mine. I am an air defense guy, and therefore I am not afraid of black helicopters. Put out your Stinger teams when you get done dogging them. Yeah, I'm just saying, he's not afraid of a conspiracy theory. You know what? When you read these things, like, do you remember reading the stories that came out in the aftermath of Pat Tillman's death? You're like, you know what? That's somebody writing an article. That can't be true. The Army wouldn't do that. And then you found out all this shit that the Army did. That they knew it was friendly fire from the start. And they didn't come out and tell the truth. Like, what are they thinking about, man? If there's anything that you learn from the first time you're involved in any investigation, and it could be the stealing of a box of MREs, okay? The guy who did it, he's going to get in trouble. The guys that lie about it, they're going to get in trouble. Sometimes more trouble. Okay? Yeah. So, don't lie in investigations. Tell the truth. It happens. Oh, well, and there's no excuse for it. Like, what excuse for not telling the Tillman family the truth could you possibly make up? Well, you know, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't look good for the Army. And, you know, we just don't want them to think, you know, bullshit, man. Tell them the truth. That's what you owe them. You raise your hand. That's an oath. You should take it seriously. Anyway, yeah, so in Asia Times today, unscrewed the Navy. Let me read you just a little bit. China's taken advantage of its alleged helpfulness to the United States in the Korean negotiations to fortify three islands in the South China Sea with two different types of missile systems. The HQ-9 Bravo is a surface-to-air missile, which is much like the Russian S-300 air defense system, and the Yankee Juliet 12 Bravo supersonic anti-ship cruise missile, which may be based on the French enhanced medium-range air-to-ground missile, or the Russian HK-31. All are cruise missiles, but the French missile's dimensions are more clearly matched by the Yankee Juliet 12 Bravo. Unlike the others, the French cruise missile has a nuclear warhead. Oop. In the short term, China is exploiting its growing strength, not only in reference to other nations in the area, but also creating severe problems for the United States, which has performed the key role of protecting transit in the South China Sea since World War II. And then it has a very cool map in it. I might have to post the map. The map has merits on its own. All these things that we talk about, it's awesome too, honestly. It's awesome. It shows you the proverbial, the nine dash line, which is honestly, it's amazing. It is. And you have these countries with their economic exclusion zones that they claim. China's having none of that shit. Yeah, Vietnam has one. The Philippines has one. But it also points out the Paracel Islands, so you see those. Okay, you see the Spratly Islands. Okay, you see those. And so you see all these little things that we refer to all the time. So it's a good map, so I'll make sure I post that. Anyway. And then they have some cool pictures in here of these of the bases that have been fortified. All right, so these are the things that they say that the United States has to do. Washington has to strengthen its regional allies, especially Japan and Taiwan, by stepping up strategic patrols and by backing enhanced military cooperation agreements, especially between Taiwan and Japan. As retired Japanese Admiral Tomoshina Takai, who also was the former chief of staff of Japan's Maritime Self-Defense Force, pointed out last week, it is high time for Japan to increase its military exchanges and cooperation with its close neighbor, Taiwan. American support for any arrangement is absolutely necessary. Boom! Okay, Germans, memo to Germany, stand by. Okay, Germans, you should be listening to the Japanese. All right, both countries should actively be sharing intelligence on China's naval and air operations that impact both countries. All right, it is also important to see technology collaboration in vital areas, including missile defense, naval protection systems, submarine and anti-submarine warfare technology. The U.S. has offered to help Taiwan with submarines, but Japan has stayed silent. It is in Japan's interest and the U.S. interest for Taiwan to have modern submarines for self-defense. Yeah, but you feed Taiwan, you'll do it at risk the wrath of China, who will then use its economy as a weapon and say, sorry, can't play with us here anymore. Regional alliances will also take a more important position, making it easier for the U.S. to stay the course in the region. Lacking such cooperation puts undue pressure on the U.S. Navy, Marines, and Air Force, which will be left on their own to support regional security. True that. Washington can provide much leadership in bringing about the changes needed to sustain deterrence in East Asia. It has not done so in the past, as it has sought to appease the Chinese. Appeasers, all right? That's right, appeasers. Who's the patron saint? Neville Chamberlain. I just posted a picture of him and Hitler. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. How'd you like to be chiefly known? Oh, my God. But appeasement lets things drift unacceptably, and China's power is reaching a tipping point. Washington and its allies have to move ahead now or lose the chance to do so for good. Whoa. Asia Times calling people out. All right. Let me real quickly go through the early bird. And then Stars and Stripes. Stars and Stripes. Breaking news all the time. Number one, Trump to reveal his Iran decision today. So that'll reverberate. But you know what? The longer term question is Iran with nuclear weapons? Everybody's okay with that. Number two has to do with Air Force promotions. Number three, Mattis's major overhaul of Navy deployments. We talked about that last week. Four, Congress pursuing independent commission to review aviation safety. As I said, I hope the people that go before the commission, right, I hope they, if they need this audio, tell them to call me. I'll give it to them, no problem. Admiral, why are you having such issues?
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolution.
Now, Senator or Congressman, I want to apologize for playing that audio, but that's the answer. That was the Secretary of Defense. I know that. And let me just point something out. He cited the acts, okay? But, right, the Budget Control Act, right, and your continuing resolutions, he didn't mention who authored those acts, okay? So I just want to get to that. You authored those acts. You people sitting here that now have us, this is the impact of what you ass clowns did. Okay? We weren't able to replace Air Force aircraft quick enough. We weren't able to continue flying. We weren't able because we didn't have spare parts. Our readiness in terms of pilot readiness has gone down. They are current, but they're not proficient. So, you have this toxic cocktail that you have brewed for us. Thank you.
You're out of order, Admiral.
But do you think an admiral will say that? Probably not. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to you're going to hear from John Allen as he interviews Bob Neller. Yeah, go figure. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.